Well, the great old hymn said, "Come thou fount of every blessing." This was written by Robert Robinson in 1758. So that's an old hymn. Perhaps the second verse of that song has these words that you'll recognize right off. It says, "Here I raise my Ebenezer." And of course, that gets us every time. With Ebenezer, what's that? Well, that word is taken from 1 Samuel chapter 7. You see, the Israelites found themselves in a bad place, between a rock and a hard place. They were being besieged. They were on heavy attack by the Philistines. They were fearing for their lives. The Israelites then ran to Samuel to ask him to pray to God on their behalf with the impending battle that was to come. Because, you see, they could see that they were outnumbered, that the Philistines had everything going for them. They had the latest weapons of warfare. They had all the things that they needed to defeat Israel. And so Israel recognized that, and they said, if God Almighty does not intercede for us, then all is lost. So what they were basically asking when they came to Samuel was this very simple thing. Samuel, we need a miracle from God. We need a miracle from God. And old Samuel offered up a sacrifice to God, and then he prayed for God's protection. Now notice that he prayed for God's protection, not God's victory. Israel deserved nothing. But Samuel prayed that God would protect Israel as he had pledged to in their covenant relationship. And God granted Israel his protection. The Philistines were defeated. They were routed. They returned to their own territory. And after the battle, the Bible records there in 1 Samuel 7:12 that Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shem and called that stone Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." So that word Ebenezer literally means a stone of help. We as Americans are celebrating Memorial Day today, this weekend. And Memorial Day is a holiday, a national holiday, for us to honor our military. Those especially who have died, who have given their all for this country. And to recognize that this sacrifice that they gave for us has kept us free all these years. It's a time to fly the flag. It's a time for us to visit cemeteries. It's a time for us to get into parades, marching bands, laying of wreaths, all these things, because we are called in to remember what they have done for us on our behalf. Perhaps to remember that for 236 years, thus far, God has helped us. You know, history is a very important thing. A nation that does not remember where it came from or what its foundations are is ripe for destruction. I think we're almost there. I don't know that we know who we are anymore. I'm not sure that we know where we come from. We're just there. And America's history reveals that God's powerful hand, if we really truly go back and look at history, was upon this nation from the very beginning. God uses all kinds of things, and he constantly does that. But he used in our lives, in our history as a people, God used frozen rivers to facilitate protection and give victory. God used a simple thing like fog to protect and allow for victory. God sometimes raised a great storm that there might be protection. And simple faith put to prayer for freedom. You know, America gained its independence from the greatest military power on the face of the earth, Great Britain. The British launched an armada. They sent to America the greatest armada ever launched to quell the rebellion in America. And we're free. we're free. God did it. God has preserved America and blessed the whole world through us in that preservation. America is one of the most generous nations on the face of the earth. You realize that? Go and look. Google it up and see. You know, normally, when a country defeats a foe, that defeated country pays reparation to the victor. I think there's a little saying, to the victor go the spoils. We've always turned that around. To the defeated, we help stand again and pour millions of dollars. Rebuild factories and homes. Do all those kind of things. Because I say our idea is slightly different than the world's idea, because our idea comes from a biblical foundation as to how to treat our enemy, are those defeated. Robert Baird, he wrote a book, he called it Religion in America. And he wrote this about the New England colonies. He said, the New England colonies owe all their best qualities to their religion. It is because of the influence of the church, the Bible, and their faith, Christian faith, I might add, that America is the great beacon of liberty of the whole world and draws men to it because of these things. You know, that's basically still true today. People are beating down the doors to try to get here. Must be some reason for that. Maybe they see more clearly who we were than we understand who we are. And maybe they see more clearly that we can still be who we were and want to come here. You know, we have a motto, In God We Trust. It's superimposed upon our money. And it's an interesting thing that was right from the very beginning. It's not something that came late. But in 1956, July 30th, for example, with the Great War, World War II, still strong in our memories, President Dwight Eisenhower signed a law declaring that In God We Trust is the official motto of the United States of America. Did you know that? We passed that as a law. Might be good for someone to point that out to Congress, perhaps, but we did sign it into law. And you know what they said? This is the motto of the United States because based on 90 years of history, this is our motto. In God we trust. You know, under President Theodore Roosevelt decided to strike a new double eagle coin. Now, he commissioned a fellow to design this thing. It was actually a very beautiful design. And this double eagle coin was struck, but it was struck without something. Without In God We Trust. Did you know that? The public was so outraged that this new coin did not have In God We Trust that within 1 year, they recalled all those coins and they struck them from there on out with that motto, In God We Trust. Now you say, well, what does that matter? It matters because of the principle. Who are we trusting? Are we honoring God? Are we willing to say publicly and openly that we owe our allegiance, we owe our prosperity, we owe who we are as a nation, as people. We owe that the world, the vision and the beacon of liberty, we owe that to God who has opened those doors for us. Perhaps today would be for us a great day to remember that God's gracious hand of preservation be on us again. Do we have so forgetful of hearts that we imagine that all these blessings originate from our own wisdom and our own strength? Our history has been so edited, so revised, so made so politically correct that the hand of God is rarely seen in our history anymore. Perhaps it's time once again for believers to rise up and say, enough is enough. Stop messing with my country. In God we trust. You know what? We've seen that happen from time to time. We've seen that happen during Theodore Roosevelt's time. We've actually seen that happen in our lifetime a couple of times. We need to do it again. Acknowledge God. Pray and ask for forgiveness. Humbly come before God and ask Him that we be bold enough as believer priests that the agenda of basic Christian values be once more inculcated into the public domain and society. The very fabric of who we are is that. If we abandon that, we've cut all our moorings. We truly are adrift. Years and years ago, my grandfather stopped as we were going over to see my aunt and uncle, Richard, in Cahokia, Illinois. We're crossing over the JB Bridge, the Jefferson Barracks Bridge there, going from Missouri to Illinois. And off to the left-hand side, the reason it was called Jefferson Barracks is because that's where there was a training center for troops in World War II. And so the Jefferson Barracks Bridge is named that because of the location. But there's a cemetery there. And my grandfather said to me, he says, let's pull into the cemetery today. I want to go see a particular grave. And so we stopped. And that's the first time I'd ever been over there. You can't quite see it from the highway anymore. And so we went over there, and so we walked around, and they have a thing that you can find. It's like a guide if you want to find a particular grave. You can it's a way to find that. Go such and such section B, row whatever. And so we went and found that grave, and my grandfather stood there for a few minutes. And tell you the truth, I didn't know who that was. It was one of his uncles. I didn't know who that was. And so I was not so much taken with the one grave as I was by the entire cemetery. And there's just rows and rows and rows of white crosses there. And so I asked my grandfather, I said, how many people are buried here? And here's what his answer was. Too many. Too many. Listen, too many have gone ahead of us, have paid the price that we can sit here in air conditioning, that we can drive from one state to another, that we can enjoy all these great privileges. Too many have given their lives for us to squander that away today because we just don't feel like doing anything about it. It's apathy. You know, every one of those graves represents a life. It's a name of somebody. Somebody's son, somebody's husband, somebody's dear one, a soldier, an American soldier. You know, if we put names to all those crosses, we would think differently. But we glob it together, and sometimes we lose the context. Those who fought for us to give us what we enjoy today. Freedom for all. Chance for success. A chance to raise your family as you understand and see fit to do so. Your vocational calling in life, you have the freedom to privilege you to do that. To seek after life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Can we once again return Jesus Christ, our God, to the center of national life? Can we recapture national sanity and return to biblical values? Sanctity of life, sacredness of marriage, honesty, words meaning something, not constantly changing from one thing to another. An honesty
about patriotism and what it means. Fiscal responsibility. I could go on and on and on. Is there a chance that we could respond to that and turn back the clock? Go back 50 years. Is there a possibility that we could do that? You know, most people would say, no, there's no way. We're here now. We've come too far. We've abandoned too many things. What we have to do is make the best of where we're at right now. I understand that principle. But, you know, I think, no, no, no. That's not good enough. It doesn't pay homage to those who have fought and died for us. Let us be where we're at. Now, are we pure as a driven snow, as a nation, as a people? Mm-mm. Not at all. I can name many tragic behaviors of the nation. But I can also point out the ideal that we can strive for once again, that we can put forth as our goal once again. It can be done. My answer to say to those who are naysayers who say we can't do anything about it is that's the problem. If we've taken in our hearts and minds to say we can do something about it, then we can do something about it. We first of all need to remember who we are, whose we are. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 6, Paul says, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love. Whose are you? Are you the state's? Whose are you? Who do you belong to? It really makes a difference. If we truly are the people of God, and I believe with all my heart, those who confess Christ, who place their faith and trust in him, name him as Lord, accept that forgiveness of God, sealed with the Holy Spirit of God unto the day of redemption, then you're the people of God. That's who you are. And who you are then the messengers, the royal ambassadors for Christ to this world. And you have a mission. You're not just here to make a living. You're not just here to pay mortgages. You're not just here to put beans on the table. All those things I recognize are essential, but that's not why you're here. That's not why God left you when he saved you. He left you because you have just been enlisted in God's great army called the Church of the Living God. You're supposed to be on mission for him. We're in a spiritual battle. Oh, yes, white hot, and those bullets are real, and those injuries are quite real that come to our troops. But listen, we're also in a spiritual battle that's just as real. I'm not sure that that outcome is even more important than the physical, that the spiritual be upheld. I remember, and of course, if you've been watching any television at all this weekend, you saw that there's quite a few patriotic things on television. Praise the Lord for that. They've got some old movies on, those kind of things. But I remember reading about the Marines as they were landing in the Pacific on Guadalcanal. This was our first great attempt at taking a major island in the Pacific. Taking it back. And so we landed some 30,000 Marines. We had the Navy laying offshore, bringing in as much munitions and supplies as they possibly could. You know, they got in 5 days worth. That's not very long, man. And then Fletcher, who was the naval commander, thought, boy, the Japanese are going to bear down on us. We got to get these ships and we got to pull them back. And so in the night, the Navy pulled back to a safer distance. And when the Marines woke up the next morning, and they'd been doing pretty good as getting to their objectives, the Japanese were pretty well totally surprised. They recognize, hey, where'd everybody go? And so the word came back to the commanding Marine general, the Navy's gone. You know, we've got 5 days worth of ammo, 5 days worth of supplies. We probably need a little bit more than that. Maybe we could use some support from those guys too, even, you know, but they're not here anymore. And you know, I like what he said. He said, I understand that. I understand what you're saying and all those kind of things. But you know what he said? He said this one little thing. He said, remember your Marines. And we can take this island. Well, listen, friends, it looks like we're outnumbered. It looks like the Philistines are going to overrun us any time now. They've got all the numbers. They've got all the weapons. They've got all the power, all those kind of things. What we need to remember is that we're God's people. That we can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth us. You see, we've got something they know nothing about. And that's the power of God in Christ available to us. And we can use that, if we will, to bring glory to God. Secondly, we need to recognize the true enemy. Jesus said that the thief comes to steal, to kill and destroy. I have come that you might have life and have life more abundantly. I was talking to Brother Boyd. I'm not a Marine, so I'm not touting the Marine Corps for anybody. I'm an Air Force guy. I was in the Air Force. You know, we're the guys that are way off there somewhere, sending those airplanes over for you. We're those guys. But anyway, Brother Boyd's a Marine. I think Marines are a lot like Texans. J. Vernon McGee used to say on the radio, you know, don't ever ask a Texan if he's a Texan or not. He said, listen, because if he's not, you don't want to embarrass him. And if he is, he's going to tell you soon. I think that's the way of the Marines. You don't have to ask them, are you a Marine? Pretty soon, they're going to tell you they're a Marine. Well, Brother Boyd's a Marine. And he served in Vietnam. I was in South Korea. Not during the Korean War. During the Vietnam War. Some of the kids, when I say that our youth, they go, oh, wow. You know, No. Nobody's shooting at us at that particular point. But Brother Boyd was in Vietnam. You know what he said was their greatest problem? Did they have firepower? Ooh, they had firepower. Did they have all that they needed as far as military supplies and things like that? Pretty much so. Did they have the troops available that they pretty well needed? Pretty much so. You know what their greatest problem was? Identifying who the enemy was. Those little fellows in the daytime were out in the rice paddies putting in the rice. At night they put on the black pajamas and went around doing something else. And you couldn't tell who was who. They didn't know who the enemy was, and they didn't know what the objective was. We need to recognize who the enemy is. Listen, we're not the enemy. Each other. Listen, we as Baptists are not the enemy of the Methodists down the road here. We're not the enemy of the Lutherans over here. We're not the enemy of the Presbyterians or the Church of Christ or the Pentecostals or whoever. Anybody who names the name of Jesus, who believes the book, I'm not going to agree with them all. I don't agree with every Baptist. You know, wherever two or three Baptists are gathered together, there are five or six opinions. So I don't know that I agree with every Baptist. But I do know this thing. That we ought to say we're Christians. And we're going to pull together and work together for the common cause of advancing the kingdom of God in Christ here where we're at. And stop bickering about the non-essentials and let God sort out the rest. Well, he's an ecumenical guy. No. I just think it's time. We've got to marshal our forces together. We've got to stand together. Whoever will stand and name the Lord Jesus as Lord believe his word, I'm with them. I don't care what they call themselves. They just don't know they're Baptists, that's all. That's what you have to identify the enemy. Those folks aren't the enemy. Refocusing our thinking, Galatians 5:1. It says, For it is for freedom Christ has set us free. Do not be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. You know, and after 9-1-1, we as a nation were able to refocus again. Did you notice that? I did. It was very amazing. All the haunty things and all the silly things that were coming through the airways and things like that, all of a sudden stopped for a little while. I saw American flags flying all over the place. I saw people with them on their cars and things like that. I saw over here at Snyder High School, they had "In God We Trust" written on the fence in cups. Now, why don't they have that on the fence anymore? Because that was just momentary. Momentarily, we pulled together. Momentarily, we recaptured the vision. Oh, wait a second. There are people who want to kill us. There are people who want to do us harm. Momentarily, we came together. We've got to refocus. Refocus on the Lord. So many times, it's easy for us to get off track. It's quite easy. I remember on several occasions, very sincere things in my life. I told you about the time that I took the three guys with me up on Purple Mountain deer hunting, and three of those guys got lost. And we had to find them again. Told you about that. But perhaps I didn't tell you about the time that I was lost. See, I thought I knew where I was at. I'd been wandering through the woods, and I'd been hunting and on our area there in Lewistown. And I knew the ground pretty well. And I thought I knew where I was at. And so about 3:30, 4 o'clock, I thought, okay, it's time to head back to the truck. And so when I turned around and started heading back, I realized, boy, where am I? Is it this way or that? I've been up and down and in and out and over and under and doing all those things. I didn't know where I was at. And I thought to myself, well, my dad always said, if you're lost, sit still, don't move, we'll find you. I thought, boy, that's probably a good strategy, but it's getting dark. And then I remembered, and I still do that kind of stuff. I take peanuts with me going hunting. I eat peanuts. One time I forgot my bottle of water, and I stopped over there at Trunker and bought a bottle of water. Of course, here in Indiana, you don't move around a lot. You stay in a stand. But I bought that bottle of water, sat down. It was cool. About, 8:30, 9 o'clock, I thought, I'm going to take a drink. And I took that bottle of water, and I popped the cap off, and I took a big slug of that. It wasn't really water. It was that fizzy water. You know, that mineral water, that tastes terrible. So now I'm there with mineral water, no water. About 10:30, I was getting real thirsty. And I thought to myself, could I just take a sip and, it's wet. How can people drink that stuff? I don't know. But I sat down and reflected, and I thought to myself, aha, I was eating grapes all day long. I took two big bunches of grapes and stuck them in my coat. And I thought, hey, yeah, not too long back, I ate pretty well the last part of that stem of grapes, and I threw the little stem down. So I went back, and I found that little stem. Ah, Okay, that's where I was. Still don't know where I'm at, but that's where I was. So then I started going back, and I thought, I think I've been spitting seeds out all along. So I started looking for seeds. You know, that's hard to find a grape seed out in the woods. But lo and behold, I found a couple. So I found another spot where I was at. And then I found a spot because of the grape seeds where I'd sit down and messed up the leaves and all that kind of stuff. Okay, I don't know where I'm at, but I'm going back the way I came. And I just kept doing that. And finally, it was so dark I couldn't see anything anymore, basically. And I thought to myself, well, I walked uphill when I left the truck. It's downhill here. And you know what? I walked out of those woods and came probably within 300 yards of the truck sitting there. I just retraced my steps. You know, I think we're adrift. We don't know where we're going anymore. We're just kind of, you know, wherever the wind's going, whatever's driving us here, we need to stop. Evaluate ourselves. Maybe we need to retrace our steps to get us back to where we don't know how to get there from there, but we can get back to where we were because we know that part. This Memorial Day, this day in which we have set aside to remember those who've gone ahead of us and paid that price and gave us so much. Do we owe them? I think we do. Okay, we got to go back. I don't like to go back. I like to go forward. But sometimes when you don't know where we're at, you got to go back. We go back, get your bearings, so that you know where you're at, so that you can push forward again. Name the names. Put a name to that person who gave you so much, spiritually or even physically. Name the name. It'll help you regain your footing. You see, not too many years ago, I was lost, but I wasn't in the woods lost. I was just lost. I didn't know Jesus. I knew about him. Somebody probably drugged me to Sunday school. I probably would, drugged me to Sunday school. I suspect they might have done that. I don't know. You know? I do remember one particular time in Caledonia, Missouri. I remember the preacher, and this was a Presbyterian church. You know, I used to be Presbyterian when I was a kid. I was lost, but I was Presbyterian. But anyway, I remember that guy. And the only thing I remember about him, he had that big robe on, and it would make a noise when he walked. And the only thing I really remember about that guy, and surely he preached something else. Surely he did. But I remember this. You're going to hell without Jesus. I remember that. Surely he said something else. But maybe God impressed that on my heart. And when I got sent to Korea, stripped away all the things that made me comfortable. Now I had to deal with life and how I was going to live it. And two guys witnessed to me about Christ and led me to the Lord. Listen, you can start again. I was 24 years old. Jesus came into my life. I'm not lost anymore. I'm bound. I need to walk every day with Jesus or I lose my way and I have to come back. Father God, we thank you for all that you do for us in Christ Jesus, who is Lord. We thank you, Father, for your great mercy. Lord, we didn't pick this country to be born in and to live in. But oh, what a blessing that's been to us. Help us to remember those who have worked so hard, given so much that we can enjoy so much freedom and liberty, prosperity. It's not by happenstance. It's not by wisdom. It's not by our own power. It's by your blessing. Lord, even this morning, as we're here, perhaps there's that one that needs to name that name of Jesus. Say, I'm lost. I need Christ. I can't go on like this. I don't know where I'm at. I don't know who I am. Lord, bring them unto yourself. Even today, even this day, for these things I ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.